Oops. Does it squeeze in like that? Yeah.
Did we get 10 out of 10 for you?
Yep. It's going to. What's he giving back to that? Okay. So I just said the same thing as he just said to his room.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick. So how are we getting along?
One thing that I was wondering, is there standard control that you use to connect the different things, like you're in a topic and it goes and highlights the topic in the text? Or whatever. Is there a particular type of control that like is there one of these NXT or sorry on net controls
I
in a way or
think there is just because the topic box and all this is based on what was it called? Night text area or something.
okay.
In text area, is that what it is? It has some sort of highlighting stuff there. So you should probably look at the I'm not sure if it's in built there, to be honest.
You haven't had to build any new windows to do that sort of thing, like other topics or. Well, we're going to do one for speaker, I guess, and all that, right?
What?
Oh, okay. When we talk about speaker characterization, how are we accessing the list of speakers?
That I wanted to talk about that actually. The speaker, the data processing is fine, but I would don't particularly want to do the GUI for it.
You don't?
No, not
Okay.
really. If some,
Okay.
if you want to do that,
Yeah, I was thinking about.
then
I was
tell
getting
me how you want the
confused.
data presented, how
Yeah.
the because. Do you want me to tell you? Because at the moment, the is I've created two classes: one that represents speakers, one that represents the meetings, and the information about both is contained within each object. So, and then they it writes objects, and the objects contain all the information about the meetings and the speakers. So the speakers that are at the meetings and the amount they speak. And then the averages are contained with the speakers. So there's two separate classes, do you see what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And
So
they're two different objects. And you can recall, they can write the writes the objects, and then you call the objects back, and they ha those returned objects have all the information that they need. And then you can call methods to return whatever you want,
okay, yeah, I see what you mean.
or
Okay.
everything. But that's why I wanted to know how what's the easiest way to have the data.
So have you already calculated all this data, or are you supposed to do
Yes,
that?
basically all
Okay.
calculated, yeah. And all stored as objects, so dot object files.
All right.
Which means that you just would call the null constructor and call the load thing and call it that, and you can create a list of them or a vector of them or whatever you want to do with it. And then, or just call them one at a time to populate a window. But that's what I wanted to know, what format do you want the data to come back in? Because it can come back as almost anything. What's easiest to
I mean,
display on the
I mean,
screen?
that helps. Like when he was talking about like having architecture that things are going to plug into.
Yeah.
I mean, so that things are all modular. I mean, it would be a good idea if we use that same idea for anything else we do. What else are we doing?
Yeah.
Like even the searches or whatever, and just
Yeah, okay, you
any sort of
could.
thing. I mean, search results if they're all in a predictable thing with a name, certain
Yeah.
properties or list of properties of that
Yeah.
query, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can have it so that it returns you a. Is at the moment the main data structures are hash tables for the meetings that say. It's got one that says percent, it's called percent talk, one's percent noise, and one is percent participation. Do you see what I mean? So, and then it's got inside, it's got a link, it's got the speaker's name, and then it's got their percentage for that thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it can either come back as a, you can have the hash table, or you can have it returned as a vector, and it will say noise, it's just a strings, noise x percent. It will say a vector that's cool, I don't know, whatever. You can either have it, you could have like an embedded vector or array of strings, and each one represents one person or whatever. what the easiest thing to display, how you want to display it.
I mean, I can do it.
Okay.
Just
matter
of deciding
what we want to use
this. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So whenever we open a window for one speaker.
Yeah. See, that's the key. How did we? Can I have a look at that again? If it's in that format,
yeah.
It's speaker.
Yeah,
it's speaker. Speaker is the controlling.
Yeah.
Saying not, yeah. So all of this, all that's calculated as well, stored as speaker objects.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's easy. Something quite amusing, actually. The influences are, I lived in Germany for 6 months, don't know if that had any effect. I spent too much time talking to Brits. Like, all sorts of bizarre things. Where do these people come from? So then all that's calculated. As well, all I have to do is get the dialogue action. I don't think that'd be difficult. So then, how is this box populated? Is it populated by the one present or the one highlighted?
The one present.
The one present. Okay.
Although we could do the one highlighted, I suppose.
Because at the moment I'm using, there are methods that say, for I'm using for other talk size processing, and it says like get talk time, and you takes a name, so that would call the meetings method that said return that, and that would populate that, which would be an easy thing to do. And the same for that.
I mean, that would be implementing what you said, that you want to see per topic, you want to see which one spoken most, something like that. So you could zap through these topics.
Meetings.
Meetings, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would come up with how much they spoke, and you can pick the one that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that would be easy as well, yeah.
Do you want to do that then?
Yeah, okay. So I'll just leave in lots of methods that just return one number at a time.
Yeah.
That would be the easiest way to do, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah, random things like just return talking time.
Yeah. Get talk time, I think it's called at the moment, something like that. Yeah.
So each time you're going straight to the XML files for the information?
No, it's stored as an object file. It processes a whole lot offline and stores it as an object.
Okay.
And then they're much, much smaller, only like a 1K.
So that's all just pre-processed?
Yeah, it's all pre-processed. And then it's just each one of the objects got a bunch of return methods. You have to recreate the object. It's called a load method.
Okay.
So what you do is you call a null constructor, because if you call the proper constructor for each meeting, it goes off and does all the processing and stores its own object. And then if you call a null constructor, then you call load, and you can call load on whatever one or all of them or anything like that. Go through the list.
Is it for the entire corpus, or is it just like individual ones, like one object for?
One object for each meeting.
Oh, each meeting.
Yeah. I don't.
I wonder if that would be useful for some of the other stuff we're doing.
It tells you who participated. At the moment, it tells you who participated and the amount they participated in percentages and in time as well.
Can you put in there what topic was spoken about as well?
Yeah, that'd be easy.
I could
use
that for the topic pop-up window.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too difficult. So that would cause a problem with anything that wasn't annotated for topics.
That wasn't
what? Or just return a null or...
No topic specified. Yeah, I have a default. Yeah, there are some default unknowns actually. A lot of people don't give the range and other stuff. But
because at the moment, if you right click on the topic window on one of the topics, you have the option of popping open a window which gives you a list of all the meetings containing that topic.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Right. Yeah. That would be a problem, and then you could do a search over the meetings, over the objects, because that's the thing. These are so small that it can load all of the whole lot up and do a search over the whole lot to find who participated in what, no problem, or what topics were in what, so it doesn't crash the thing.
So how would you calculate that? Would you do the summarization as you populate it?
What, the global statistics come straight after that, don't they? Because they're just for the meter.
Oh, right. So that is all stored together.
The speaker class knows about all of that stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
And the meeting class knows about that stuff.
Sounds good. So have you done these yet?
No, I don't think it's difficult.
Just got to decide on what we want.
What we want, yeah. I thought the other stuff was more important anyway, yeah, so I did that first.
Yeah. So it's all usable now, can I do it tonight?
No, design the GUI first, and because the problem is if you change the classes, the object's serial numbers change and you can't reload the object, so all the processing has to be done over again, and I haven't quite finished with it, so. It would become out of sync and get a bit funny. If I gave you it now and you worked on it and then I changed it and ran the thing again, you would never be able to load the objects back up.
Oh, okay.
And then you'd have multiple copies of objects all over the place and it'd get silly, I think.
Well, let me know when it's sort of usable.
But if you want to make the picture, you can do that without anything, can't you?
What do you mean a picture?
Just that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not going to take
that. That doesn't take very long.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it won't take very long to get it all finished up. But I'll need to have done all of this stuff too first. Because otherwise the objects won't be the same.
Sounds good. So where's that? Is that stored in the...
No, it's on my home directory.
On your home directory? Not in there?
No, okay. It's a bit global. When it's finished, I'll put it global, otherwise it'll get confusing.
Okay. Actually, I can upload my stuff as well. I just have to make one change to your file just to load this one instead of the default.
All right.
So, it's 2 months ago.
Yeah. Well, are you wanting to write that in directly, or what do you want to do with that?
What do you mean?
If you want to change my code.
Well, yeah, just the one thing that's like the action for loading the search thing.
Do you want to change that the original mBrowser file in, or?
Yeah. Well, your version. Yeah.
Have you done that now, or?
No, I did in my directory. Okay,
so not the actual one, but a copy of it.
I have a copy, yes.
Okay.
I was going to update that one. It just makes sense that.
Well, just tell me when, because I usually work on my own copy.
Right. Yeah.
For the day, and then update it without checking if the one in the share has changed.
Yeah, I haven't made any changes to it yet.
So. Okay.
I'll just make that one on the channel.
Yeah,
I guess I 2 lines of code.
Yeah.
Cool. And then you can play. There's not much to do. I have to get better results.
So is that what you're working on now then? To present results nicer?
Yeah.
Or?
And just to wire in the topics and as well as summaries. So,
you mean the highlighting stuff? Or?
Well, also, yeah, like that as well. So. So I just want to find what kind of objects those were for the other ones. So it goes in and out.
Yeah.
I know.
Actually, for an in-text area, whatever it is, they define some handy highlights on that. So you've got different highlights. You've got just look at the what they wrote about it. They've got like user highlights, selection highlights, time highlights, and something else. So you can quite easily, if your text area is called area, you just do area dot set highlights or something, you know,
okay.
Something like that. That's the way I did it to cross highlight between topic and transcripts.
Okay. There's a few more things to do with that, and then once Pernell gets the index, then that's gonna be kind of fun. I'm just wondering if you had to. Well, the way you're doing, I was gonna ask if the way you were doing it, you were loading like a new corpus each time for your training, but you're doing the object, so you don't need to. Just because if we do have like if the inverted search says that there's 10 documents, are we gonna have to load each of these 10 corpora just to do the individual next two search?
That way it doesn't crash. If you try and load all 10 in one, it crashes, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's a bit dumb if you can fool it. If you load up 10 different engines simultaneously, it can do that fine.
Really?
But it can't do them. It can't do them if it thinks they're one, because then it's about the amount that each. If you have to kind of call a new class and then it will do it fine, but if you don't, then it won't.
Okay,
Yeah, he says, okay, oh yeah, I've got all this space, you can use some. Otherwise, he goes, oh no.
Does it talk to you now?
It talks to you now. It's a nice machine again.
Spent too much time. Alright, well, I've been doing some random pop-up windows for the speaker characterization, which is good, so I can fill that in now.
Okay.
The windows are all there now, after lots of video.
Oh, they're done, are they? Okay, cool.
Well, you know, just the pop, pop-up.
They pop up.
Because it basically has to set up, like 10 pop-up windows in memory, as in already, initialize them, because there might be 10 speakers that all have to have different windows. And I'm working on when you click on a topic to see a list of the topics. Of the meetings that topic was mentioned in.
Okay.
And I have a question about the, you said we wanted a start screen.
Mm.
What kind of start screen do we want? I mean, do we want some general blurb about welcome to the browser?
LSD browser. some speech and some music, some drum rolls.
Or something that just sort of guides them to the most obvious things.
Yeah. So do we want, maybe we could write on like the, whatever it's called, the top of the window saying, welcome to the meeting browser.
Yeah. Or a switchboard that comes up that's just a blank form like that with some buttons on.
Yeah.
Load me a meeting, load me a search, load me something else.
Yeah.
Whistle a tune.
Yeah, but how? I mean, at the moment, the way it is, it's a drop-down menu, as you see.
Yeah.
With all the... And that, because it's the dialogue class that you use there.
Yeah. I was just going to ask if we should assume that they'll want to load a meeting first, but not necessarily. I guess if we're doing a search on the entire...
Yeah, I mean, I think they should have two options. Either load up a meeting that they choose, or do a search. And through that, once you've got the results, you click on something.
It's cheaper than XT search. It needs you to have a meeting loaded before it'll start doing any searching at all, doesn't it?
Well, we can.
Does it?
You can't. The only thing you can search is a night object model, and the only time you can get one of those is if you've loaded an observation.
You probably even. That shouldn't be too hard to put a check in there. And if it doesn't load, then force it to load.
You could use the inverted file search to return a list of meetings and then use one of those to load a search.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't.
Can you not get this nom object?
It has to be an observation. And even if you go and you can go and search the whole corpus from that, but you have to have, it has to start with something for some bizarre reason. The engine, there's only one search method to the search engine. The engine class only has one search method.
We wouldn't want to use NXT at the beginning anyway, because we don't want to search locally.
Globally.
So let's
say. They know what meeting it is.
Then they would open the meeting first, right?
Yeah.
So let's say they have two options, either pick one meeting or search globally to find a meeting that they like.
Yeah.
Or, the things they may just be looking for a word and, if it shows up 10 different meetings, then at that point they'll probably want to. Do you want to, you could by default goes with the first one and they want number 5 of the ones that are returned and then that's what you.
No, but why would we want default? I mean, just.
Well, not like to load up. The thing is, I think, when it loads up, it'll load up the transcript window and the window. Right now, I think just the topic ones. Although the time is probably more caused by loading the actual data. So I'm just thinking if it's kind of, you're saying, you have to have a NOM object, right? Before you do a search at all.
Yeah, but local search.
Yeah.
We can do local search without anything.
It doesn't take long to load up anyway. You can load a dumb one up that doesn't have any.
Yeah, but the global one feeds into the local. So if we're getting any usable data, it's going to be doing a search on each of those files. So it's going to be loading up each of those one at a time to get the data.
But the global inverted file search gives the NOM objects basically to the local search, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But it could be time consuming, if there are 10 documents that.
That's always going to be the case with search.
Yeah. But only gives one at a time anyway, doesn't it? Because otherwise you'll crush the thing.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking of some way you could, you know, cache the results and, you know, nice little format that will make things a bit easier. But the thing is, I mean, if we've got that, then it's going to be needing really to load the entire corpus for that meeting. If it's trying to show us where those were, if it's trying to highlight those in the text transcript or whatever, and we're going to have all that other data in there. So each time we make a search window and we have like, you know, 10 different meetings, you know, the word wireless comes up, go to meeting one, and has to reload the NOM object. Next one. I mean, that's going to.
Yeah, it's not too slow though, I don't think. Yeah. It's not too bad on that.
Okay.
I don't think that'll be too much of a problem.
It always seems to be slow loading up the first time at least. Like that's all.
Yeah.
Loading it up, test it, trust me, shut down, load it up. So just sort of based on that as well. But if it doesn't take that long each time, then that should be all right.
I mean, you can, you know, the option is to do a search in the way that if you do a global search, the first step, only return the meetings, as in, meetings, but the name of the meetings.
Yeah.
So, you know, say you want to search for the word language, then it gives you as a result all the meetings that contain the word language. And then you can decide, well, I want to search on this and this and this meeting, or only on this meeting. Or
Yeah, make it strings for as long as possible, and then only return the things when they actually, but when it needs to, has to search, when it needs
that
to be loaded.
And that way they know specifically which meeting it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they don't want to have the extra loading time
either,
if they can avoid it.
Definitely.
So
yeah.
Or they can check mark against the ones they want to check.
Did we think about better names for the meetings?
Well, I think they were in the text. We can probably do that ourselves and just sort of BDB, you know, just do it.
There is,
string.
In one of the papers, they have names,
the
such as.
Do they retranslate them?
Like the working group that it's part of.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's
right.
We'll just use that then.
Even better understanding or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's a working group, is it? Okay. I want to see the readings of our even better understanding.
Yeah.
That's
accurate. So, I've put that in already.
Okay, that's cool. That's good.
So, again, concretely to the startup libraries, we know.
So who would have the IDFs, I mean the DFs, document frequencies for each word?
Do you actually need frequencies?
Yeah, to do what Tiskeev's talking about, you do.
Yeah.
To do the topic label.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, how is that? I mean, do you think you would have time for that as well?
Well, the thing is, if it's being
if
done
somebody's done the keywords or the IDFs or the DFs already, would be not too probably.
The class she was trying to get to work on Friday, they did have all that and it was sort of built in and just had some trouble getting it running properly. But it had sort of all that standard sort of stuff, but it last I heard it wasn't working. So she was going to look at, you know, more straightforward sort of thing that really just fulfills what we needed to do, but if we need the if we do need the frequencies.
How do you do an inverted file search without the TF IDF?
I don't know.
I think you need to have that.
What does TF IDF stand for?
It's the amount that they occur over certain documents, basically. The amount the
DF
is the document frequencies, the amount that each word occurs. Term frequency is the amount that it occurs. One of them is the amount that occurs in each document, and the other one is the amount it occurs generally. The more it occurs in specific documents compared to its general score, the better, more informative it is about a certain.
So the general score, would that be for the whole language or for
the whole
language?
The corpus,
okay.
The data. But plus a stop list, so you remove stuff that doesn't, and there, which is going to have a basically equal score.
So what would the, if we had the
well,
best topics, what would they look like?
Bunch of keywords.
Bunch.
That's probably the easiest
thing. The list of, like,
keywords. Yeah, keywords, three, five words.
What's the I in TF-IDF?
Inverse document. Yeah, term frequency, inverse document frequency. I did do it once. I do have a Java class that does it for something. I don't know whether it will work for this, but.
Because that would be really handy, then we can actually test it on the user, as opposed to just doing it and not using it. Because if you just have the segmentation, that's great, but we can't we can't compare it to the hand annotated, you know, the hand segmented.
But also, keywords gives you a whole new type of search. You know, the keyword search, but you could the keyword search could be topic search, couldn't it? Could be the same thing. Instead of it would just search for keywords when it when they you tell them they're searching for topics, but actually get searching for keywords for each. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, that would work really nice.
I suppose even calculating the what's its faces themselves wouldn't be too much, too long. The easy bit is it's probably easier to calculate them based upon in their whole occurrences in the corpus than it is to calculate them per topic, because you don't have to integrate as much
definitely.
Information. No, you can do search without TF-IDF, you just can't rank the search.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking too.
Do we need to?
No, but that's what isn't that what the idea was in the first place, to rank the results. So that
it's sort of, but then the main idea was more like to speed it up, speed the search up, because NXT was the whole of the corpus was just not feasible.
Yeah, but that won't slow it down. Ranking it won't slow it down.
No, the general inverted file.
Yeah. Oh, it still uses an inverted file, but it ranks the results by the amount by
that
the higher.
Would be nice extra.
Yeah. I thought that was part of it, but yeah, okay, it doesn't matter if it's not.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
No, we didn't.
Sorry, what? You're only into that.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess if that's not part of it, don't worry about it. It doesn't
matter. I mean, if you have time.
Because I'm only going to do this if I've got time anyway.
Because, I mean, then it would give you, like, if you search for a word, it would give you the meetings, but also how often that word occurred in that meeting, that would be so useful.
It would just give you a rank. It would. That was the whole point, was you say, this is your top one, this is your bottom.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we're just looking for when it happens in a meeting, if they're looking for a particular term or something, they just want to know if that term exists there, and where does it exist, and I want to see it.
Yeah
but it
but it's how informative, that TF-IDF is an informative score, isn't it?
Yeah, if you search for language and you return, like, you know, basically all of the meetings, you want to see where they actually spoke about it and where they just mentioned
but
it once.
If it's like a two-word term, does a TF-IDF...
Depends how you treat the compound nouns.
It's not a compound noun, it's just two words together.
Well, like what?
I don't know. Just something like...
language and...
Edinburgh University.
As a compound noun.
Edinburgh.
Sunny day, like an adjective, in its most simple form, it would do a separate rank for each one, each term. Mm. You could make it more complicated and make it different.
Make it more
but
and then add those up or something.
Because the thing is that
you can just add them up.
We were just looking for the words period, each word in the index.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we were thinking.
Yeah, you don't want to start
then,
looking from
then it's just saying, were these two words in any of these documents? And then if it was, then we'd go closer and do the next research.
Yeah.
Look for the exact term or the regular expression.
I guess you just do a sum of the individual TF-IDF for each term returned, and that generally will be a bit crude, but it will give you a score. And the higher, the more informative each term is for each thing, it will give you a higher thing. It's pretty crude anyway. It's just looking for if it's all it's going to do is look for separate. Oh, because then it's going to go into the NXT search and return that, isn't it?
Or we choose the list of meetings that we want to search to do that.
That's true. So, that's less creepy.
I just wonder if it's going to give us something cool, then, absolutely. But if it's sort of like, if the NXT search has still got to be run to find these terms or these
groups
terms.
Of terms. Yeah, without doing any, like, word pairs.
Or also, do wildcards work for something like that? So if you're looking for wireless, wired, blah, 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 you do wire with a star.
I don't know how that works.
Actually, that's a problem for me too, so.
But the idea is that gives you an informative score. How you combine that is up to you. I guess there's lots in the literature.
Okay.
If you were there's a whole load about it in Manning and Shug. So they've got a whole chunk about it. So just IR, isn't it? It's basic information retrieval.
Okay.
They've got a good chapter on it. If you haven't got it, it's on Cognit.
Yeah,
well.
I've got somewhere.
PDF. Yeah, me too. Hundreds of PDFs.
Do the PDF, switch it to PostScript, switch it back to PDF.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's okay.
Good. Okay. So, to come back to the start screen.
Oh,
okay.
I'm very unsure about what that should look like. I mean, we want to, for the part where you can choose the meeting, what kind of information do you want to have about the meeting? I mean, the longer name, obviously, if there is one, because they don't all have longer name. What the users that spoke? Uses that to a part.
Yeah.
Then that's pretty much the same for the same group.
Probably for the most part. I mean, there'll be set of people that.
Do you want that on the startup screen? Yeah.
Yeah, just to give them an idea, general idea of what there is, and so they can pick a top and
search for stuff. Start working.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's usual.
Browse. Okay, like search, browse. Like if you're looking for something specific. Like is that what you're thinking? Like if they know exactly where they want to go to, you know, that meeting on December 3rd, and they just want to go there and see stuff, then they can immediately go and browse it.
Yeah, I want to look at the meeting where so-and-so spoke of that, you know, some sort of research group. I want that first meeting, look at that.
Yeah. Browse by meeting, browse by law, browse by speaker. Like, no, I'm just thinking of different ways we can. Do that, like different buttons on the top, like if they're looking for a particular person, particular working group, particular whatever, and we just, we could break things down like that, to that level of detail if we want, or we could keep it more general.
Because we just want to have a way of, you know, because as soon as they've got loaded their first meeting, they can browse through that quite nicely.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking like initially when they load up, what are the range of things that they'd want to do?
Yeah.
Like if they're part of X working group, they want to get in on. Do we want to say preferences?
What do you mean?
Well, if they're part of BDB working group, they're going to want to look at the BDB ones and sort of default to that.
Well, how are we going to know that?
Based on what they did the last time.
You can have a say preferences.
Yeah.
Could have a say preferences, I guess.
But that would defy the whole point of browsing, right? If you only want to look
well, all right, call it favourites then. You could have a favourites.
You can scroll down the list and find your favourite one, I mean.
Yeah, it's not enough information, is
it?
It's
not like they come back every day and do the same browsing. Let's see what's changed today.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just getting back to sort of what could be on the startup screen.
Yeah.
Like there's just a range of things we could do. We could have like search options, browse options, and then just, I don't know, just playing around with ideas. And then we can tie this into our evaluation tasks and say, oh, if you want to search for a meeting or search for a user in any particular meeting, then do this, blah, blah, blah. So we can, you know, guide them. It's just like, hey,
well,
my task is to do this, and there's a button. Perfect.
Yeah, it'd be quite good if it has,
I wasn't going to put any, you know, any help in there, any sort of explanation of how the browser works, to be honest.
No,
just
a
search
just
buttons.
Saying, like,
so
just like a lot of programs, well, kind of lame programs, do have that sort of thing first, just because they don't want people to have to go through all the menus and search themselves and just like do commonly used tasks or just exit and just unuse the program.
Yeah.
I mean, the main thing what you want to do is to view a meeting, right?
Or search.
So even if it just had two things, just said one said, take me straight to this meeting and have a text box you can enter it, or a drop down menu. And then another one that said search that loads up the search screen.
Like find specific meeting.
Yeah. Or one that,
that all happens through the search.
Yeah.
Basically, either the user knows which meeting he wants to look at, and he just clicks on it, or he doesn't, and then he searches for one that sort of.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to do is just have search as the default, just it opens and the search window opens, and that's the interface, and you just go from there.
Yeah.
And then that brings up the browser after you've searched for something. Or the search, but the search window could have on it something that said just, has a drop down menu that says just, and a go button that said take me to this.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So the
inside the search menu, yeah.
Yeah, so the only thing that comes up when you finish is a, when you start, it's just one window like that. And it's got all the search stuff like down there. So this is your search,
mm-hmm.
just all here. And here is just go to wherever, and a go button. And then from there, it takes you to wherever else you want to go.
Yeah.
And at the top it says welcome to our browser.
Yeah, that one's about right. But I'm unsure about how to put all the information in there.
A drop down menu.
But we want all the information about the name, the long
name. Oh,
the
you want
users.
Do we have usernames? Do we? Aren't there all these codes?
There was not a code.
Maybe if they know the codes and in other.
Yeah, that's true.
In a case like that, we do want drop down. We don't want them to type them, do we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And allow multiple? No. Okay, you're just looking for one specific.
This is good. If you want to search your search, if you want to look for one meeting and just look at it, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then, as I said.
That's true. That's. Unless you have two, one is one there, well, you got two, one for meeting, one for speaker, and you can choose, you can go for go or go for the other. You can't go for both.
I'm not saying you can pick a user, but it should come up with some list, but an extended list of the meeting. So, you know, you have BDR, whatever it was called, one. And then it gives you the longer name, blah. And then it gives you the, you know, the participants.
We could do Microsoft style and hold it over it and it pops up a thing.
But then,
is that complicated?
No, it's not at all, I think.
It's all tip, yeah.
I've not tried that yet, but I'm just gonna do
it. Mouse over, isn't it? Or something. Yeah. Actually, listen. Oh, let's do that then.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is that not annoying? If you have to.
Get out of the bloody way, I'm trying to search them.
Yes, we do that a lot, don't we? No, but, you know, to search for a specific user, you have to hold your mouse over that one, wait for it to pop up.
Yeah, that's true, that's annoying. But that's why you could just have a list of your users then. And you just say, I want to look for this user. Go, find me. And then it pulls up a list of all the ones who've got that user. And then you search, but then you're doing search. Maybe just leave it. Just have them leading names there. And don't worry about the speakers. If they're doing speakers, they're doing search. It's not the same as doing a quick access.
Yeah. It'd just be nice to have some basic information on
them. Yeah. Or you can have a text box there that's
got. Yeah, I'm thinking that updates.
Yeah, as you go over them. And then that doesn't get in the way.
Yeah, maybe that's the best idea then. So you've got a drop down menu. Some sort of field which updates dynamically depending on what you've got highlighted.
Yeah, the full name and then speakers.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. We can do all of that without even ever going anywhere near loading up a thing.
A thing?
A thing.
Nom.
A meeting, a nom. Yeah.
What does nom actually stand for?
I think it's a night object model.
Night,
sure.
I think in that case it's the right corpus. Yeah, it is, you're right,
it's the right corpus. Yeah. It's the night right corpus, and then you've got night right elements, and you've got night right attributes.
You've got lots of non something, and then night something, and then n something.
Yeah, I think the n ones are interfaces, and the night one of the ways around, one's an interface, and one's actually an implemented class. Because if you go back enough, and the what's his name's not very good. The API is all right, but there's not a lot of description in it. It's very crude.
No.
Tells you what.
And most of the descriptions are hints to each other saying, "You've got to update this, Jonathan. This is unintelligible."
Yeah. So you end up just it returns a n text box. Okay, what's that? It's an implementation of an n text.
Yeah.
Intimate. What's that? Oh, it's an extended version of it. Oh, stop it.
Do we want another meeting at the end of the week with Penny?
Might be useful, won't it?
Yeah.
On Friday afternoon or something?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think I'm going to do quite a bit of work this week, so I'll have probably more to talk about.
Yeah, I should have more to talk about.
I mean,
and we want to have a meeting with Steve on Tuesday, or at all. So, do we want to arrange this, get this one earlier?
If you like.
Oh, for next week.
Discuss
yeah.
That Friday if you have
okay. Yeah, sure.
Just after SPT?
Possibly. I don't know. Usually by then.
Yeah, yeah. But that means
although,
to write
well,
after.
I don't know because it's loud and try and get some work done.
Yeah.
For
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, that could be fine, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a doctor's appointment at 10 to 2.
Oh, okay.
Right.
What?
Friday morning?
3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
Where do you want to get
out? I don't know, maybe I do, I'm not sure what I'm doing this again.
Cause I think she's got a class at 11. We've all got class, all three of us have class at 12.
Should we say 3 o'clock and then if there's a serious problem, I'll tell
you. We could try one. We could try shortly after. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, would it be a long meeting then? Would you want to? No, probably not. If one's bad for you, then.
No, that would only give us like
25
minutes.
Okay. What? It's fine. I don't think we need it.
Like, you know, 5 or 6.
3 is better than 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Well, 3 o'clock. Let's
say 3 o'clock, and then if there's a problem with that, then if 3 o'clock's a problem, 5 or 6 will be a problem. Because I won't be here. But I don't think that will be. I'm not sure.
I'll write this meeting up and I'll send it to Penny as well.
Is she collecting them?
No.
No, you're just sending it to her.
Because she's not here.
No, I mean, is she collecting? Oh, right. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. School for
I
the gifted.
Meeting
well, I thought somebody was collecting them. But like, well, that's what I thought when you said that.
We should probably do that again.
Yeah.
Then we'd know who's missed them or
so
who's, if we've done any.
Can we just repeat briefly what we've spoken about? So we've done the progress on the speaker characterization.
Yep.
Who does the speaker characterization? We mentioned topic labeling with keywords.
Yeah.
We discussed if the search should be ranked. And Marshall, do you have any comments?
There's just sort of the basic implementation stuff that I was wondering about. But no, it should be fine. No, it's just a good question. Did we decide whether it should be ranked? No.
No.
Well, basically not unless you've got time for it at the end.
Yeah. Well,
it'd be nice at the end.
I kind of think it would complicate things quite a bit and not bring us a lot, just because if it is like independently doing the words for a particular document, it's not really getting them together. Like if someone's looking for a particular term, I don't know, just don't know if it would bring us that much.
I think it would.
Also?
Mm-hmm. I think it would give you the most relevant result.
If they're looking for, like I say, sunny day, and you know, Sunny shows up in this document, Dave shows up, but they're not together. Or if they are, I don't know, it just doesn't, you're looking for that term, and relevance is kind of irrelevant, because if the term shows up, it shows up.
No, but for things like, if you search for a language, then you might have, you have some topics which have as a, you know, some meetings which have as a topic language, they specifically speak about language, and they use that word, like, in every sentence. And then you've got those that just mention, you know, mention it briefly, like once or twice, saying, you know, my language is German or something stupid that you don't really want. So you want to distinguish that somehow. Or be nice, anyway.
Yeah, that would help
and
a lot for that.
Single,
for single terms, it would be
yeah.
very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For multiple terms, unless you want to do something. There will be a way of doing it for multiple terms.
For multiple terms, we can just do something really simple. I mean,
Or you could do it and override it by the, you could just ignore the ranking if it doesn't show up together.
Yeah.
Or you could have, you could penalize it. You could just put a weight against it. Yeah, you do the NXT search and it doesn't show up together.
Yeah.
Either disregard it or put a weighting against it. So if you, how many pairs you get, you can
show up on the search results.
So then just next.
I mean, you just do it really simply, you know.
Yeah.
You'll have the
results. We'll have to talk to Cornell about this.
Then. Yeah, we have to
talk to Cornell about that. See how she's doing this. We are using that. I mean, it does make sense for that, but
it doesn't have to be all intelligent.
Yeah.
Because some things you're going to get a lot of results for.
Yeah.
And if the one that you got just happened to be at the bottom and it was actually the most relevant one, something like that would just push it up.
I mean, if it's, okay, that's what you mean. And then we could actually put that like on the list of meetings that get returned. If there were 15 meetings of languages in, then it's going to show you those. And
which is the highest.
Which is
the highest, and also, with something like Sunny Day, if Sunny and Day aren't mentioned together a lot, but Sunny just happens to be mentioned once, its term will be low and it will push down the other one if you combine them, if you just add them together.
The thing is, I mean, that'll be exactly how we're doing it now. Like, we're just looking for the two words separately, see if they exist in the same document. If they do, then there's a possibility that they occur together. And then we do the NXT search on that document.
Yeah, yeah. But you have no ranking system at the moment, so if something's an amazing, highly ranked thing from TF-IDF, it could just be ignored because it falls off the bottom of the... I presume you only have, you return all results for all, say you type language and it returns 75 meetings.
Well, right now it's not doing anything, so
well, it's not that many meetings. So.
But
There are only 75, but there are 75 meetings.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you return 75, where do you stop? Or how do you rank them or something? Or if it turns 20, even if it turns 20, do you cut it off at 10? Do you rank them?
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
What's the threshold? I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, that's true.
Look through them all.
One at a time.
It would be useful as well for a word, like a language, that might occur in all of them, but you want to find the one that actually contains it usefully somehow. You know, you still want to be able to search for the word language in a sensible way. Well, we'll discuss it on Friday.
Yeah. So is that it?
Yeah.
You done?
Tick.
Tick.
Okay.
I've signed off already.